What happened that day when the Spirit arrived, when the Holy Spirit came? What happened then? It got loud. Loud enough to be heard all over town. Fire appeared, divided and dispersed to each of them. The outsiders came running, and they heard the fire talkers tell of God's mighty works in their own language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, and Arabians. The Spirit had come to describe the glory of God in their native tongues through those who followed Christ. These representatives of the world stood astounded but curious, bewildered but ready. Then Peter showed them from the Scripture exactly what it meant, revealing God's promise to all who trust in Jesus. And many believed, and many repented, and many were baptized, and many were saved. The Spirit had come. The church was born.
The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Outside of my family, the most influential entity in my life has been the local church. Now, I went to school for 7 hours a day for 13 years of my life. I marched, practiced, rehearsed, traveled, performed with the band for about 6 or 8 years of my life. I've traveled the world with my job. I've seen a lot of things. But I have to say, the most influential entity in my life, other than my family, has been the local church. And here's why. When I was born, my mom and dad, they took me to the front of the church, and they made a commitment before God and the congregation to raise me in a way that seemed pleasing to God. But they weren't the only people that made a commitment that day. The people who sat in the pews that day at Faith Boulevard Church of God in Lynette, Alabama, they made a commitment to my parents and a commitment to God to also raise me in a way that seemed pleasing to God. To be my village, to support my parents, to teach my Sunday school classes, to pray for me, to guide me in the way of Jesus, to encourage me. And luckily for me, each church that I've attended as I've grown up has done just that. There's been people at those churches that have taken on the role of being my mentors, being my guide, taking my family under their wings and been our friends. We moved around a lot when I was younger with my dad's job, but we moved to Boaz, Alabama, and went to Boaz Church of God, and Miss Tina became my Sunday school teacher. Now, Miss Tina, her mom was in a wheelchair and lived with Miss Tina, and Miss Tina was her primary caretaker. But every Sunday morning, Miss Tina would load her mom up in their rusty, beat-up car and bring her to church. And she would push her mom to her Sunday school class, and she would come and into our Sunday school class. And before we could get to the Sunday school lesson, Miss Tina pulled out her paycheck stub and her mom's disability check stub, and she added up what exactly was 10%. Then she would get out her envelope where she had had the checks cashed, and she would count out the exact amount. And if she didn't have the exact amount, she would send me across the hall to the adult Sunday school class and ask me if I could find somebody that would make change. That they always made fun of her for making change in the offering plate. But here's the thing. Miss Tina knew that she could not afford to give any more than 10%. But she also knew she couldn't afford to give any less than 10%. Miss Tina would then pull out her Sunday school book, and she would pull out a beautiful green felt board and her little felt characters, and she would make the Bible stories come to life in 2D like you've never seen. It was incredible. The best day that I remember from Miss Tina is when she took the day to take all of our Sunday school class to the Chattanooga Aquarium. You see, Miss Tina didn't have much. She was taking care of her mom with no help. She didn't have it all together. I'm pretty sure that we actually had lost the Jesus figure for the felt board, and so she just took Zacchaeus and drew on a purple robe with a marker, you know. But what Miss Tina did do is she loved us. Miss Tina was faithful to us because I never remember her missing a Sunday. Miss Tina taught us how to be faithful in our giving by showing us the importance of tithing. She taught us that we didn't have to have it all together. You see, what Miss Tina was doing for us is she was leaving a legacy that would impact our lives forever. And she did all of this because she was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'd like for you to think about your life for a moment. Each of us here today in this room have someone who have made an impact on our lives. For those who have grown up in church and were baptized as infants, and your children were baptized as infants, and now your grandchildren are baptized as infants, you have a long list of people who have made an impact on your life and left a legacy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe for you, this is your first day in church, in this church or in any church. But I'd like for you to think, why are you here today? Maybe it's because you're here to support a confirmand and they have left a legacy on your life. Or maybe it's a family member that invited you today and they've left a legacy on your life. But each of us have someone in our lives who have made an eternal impact on us through their faithfulness, their love, their generosity, or their kindness. They have made the church and they have made our faith come alive through their actions and the way that they live their lives, and therefore it leaves a legacy that we too want to follow. And so in our scripture video today, we heard about the birthday of the church. You see, Jesus had been with his disciples for several years now. He had lived his life as an example of how we should live. He had taught them about loving others, healing the sick, taking care of the needy, tithing, praying, and worshiping. Jesus had taught the disciples so much about life because Jesus had simply spent time with them and did life with them. He had loved them and he had cared for them. And because of this, the disciples wanted to do the same for others. So when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to empower them, to be their guide, to show them the way. And that's exactly what happened during Pentecost this year. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven, filled the disciples, and empowered them to begin leaving this same legacy for others that Christ had left for them. So what does that mean for us? Each time a baby is baptized, each time a person is baptized, we as a church make a vow. That same vow that we're going to make today for the four that will be baptized, and the same vow that we will make today for those who will be remembering their baptisms. This is the vow that you and I stand and make every time someone is baptized. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these believers with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. This vow, this oath, this commitment that we make, it's serious. You see, the final commandment that we receive from Jesus is to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we make this covenant, we're promising some very serious things. You see, because the parents of the child, they're entrusting us, the church, with their most prized possessions. And God, when we make this vow, is entrusting us with his most prized possessions. You see, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes youth counselors, teachers, coaches, mentors, prayer warriors, tutors, Sunday school teachers, friends, and the list goes on and on. When we make these commitments, it's not something to take lightheartedly. It's a serious vow that we are making. So, I ask you today, how are you doing with your commitments? How are you doing with this pledge and this solemn promise that you've made? Between the time a child is born and the time they graduate high school, there are approximately 936 weeks. Lila and I were already down to 887 weeks left with our daughter, Arlie. It seems like a long time. But once a child has reached 9 years old, you have spent half the time that you'll have with them under their under your direct influence. The confirmands that are sitting here today, so waiting so patiently, we have 314 weeks left until they graduate high school. It'll fly by. And those seniors that we're recognizing next Sunday at our 8:30 service, we have less than 2 weeks left with them under our direct influence. How are we doing with leaving the legacy that not only God has called us to leave, but the legacy that we have made a solemn promise to leave? What would it be like for us if each of us took our vows seriously? What would it be like for us if every single child who was under the influence of our church knew without a shadow of a doubt that they were created in the image of God and were loved by Him so much that there's nothing they could do to separate themselves from that love? What would it be like? What would it be like if our students didn't have to wonder which random person would teach their Sunday school class this week, but instead they knew that there was someone invested in their lives who loved them and cared for them? What would it be like if our parents didn't feel the pressure of having to get it right because they knew that our community was there to catch them when they struggled and when they made those mistakes? How would our church be different? How would our world be different if we kept those vows that we made when we joined the church and that we remake every time someone's baptized? So what does that look like for you? What would it look like for you to keep those vows? Maybe for you, it looks like Miss Linda Jones. Miss Linda has been teaching our second and third grade Sunday school class now for over 20 years. Those children know that Miss Linda loves them and is invested in their lives. I still hear people graduating from high school that talked about how special Miss Linda's class was and how special she is to them. Thank you, Miss Linda. For others of you, it may be volunteering with the older students. Maybe for you, it's like David and Karen Jenkins, who have been invested in the lives of the students in our youth group here at First United Methodist Church of Alabaster now for over 18 years. Miss Karen, she teaches 7th and 8th grade Sunday school every single week. And we're not really sure what David does, but he's here every time the doors are open. And the kids call him Doodles. And they will talk to Doodles about stuff that's going on in their lives that they would never talk to anybody else about. And you want to know why? Because he shows up in their lives week after week. Or possibly for you, maybe it's something else that isn't so upfront, but instead, faithfully serving behind the scenes, much like Miss Katie Hill. She's been faithfully sewing the stoles for our confirmands for years. She drove hours this summer with Pastor Sherry to Kilpatrick only to serve dinner to our adult volunteers and our teenagers who were there on a mission trip, just to turn around and drive right back home. Maybe for you, it's volunteering to be a weekly influence just for a few weeks in the lives like our confirmation sponsors did for the past 8 weeks. Whatever that is for you, how will you keep the vows that you have made? Now, if you're interested in diving into weekly serving in our youth and our children's departments, Liz, our children's minister, and myself, we would love to sit down with you and talk about what that looks like and how you might best fit in. But keeping those vows doesn't require a weekly service in the trenches. It could be as simple as volunteering to greet our children and our youth as they show up to church on Sundays. It could mean helping to provide a meal ever so often for our events and our programs. It could mean taking a group to students to Starbucks once a week or once a month. Or it could simply mean agreeing and committing to praying for a student or a group of students. And that's why we're rolling out a new prayer partner program today. It's called Nexus Prayer Partners. Our youth ministry here is called Nexus Student Ministries. So we're inviting you to take a keychain from one of the baskets that's either in the narthex or the breezeway. We'd like for you to write your name and your email down beside the name that you chose, and then put that key ring on your keychain. Because we want you to be reminded that prayer is the key to leaving a Holy Spirit legacy. The keychain has the child's first name, their school, and their date of birth so that you have some special ways to pray for them. And we're asking you to commit to praying for your student for 1 year. And we're also asking for your name so that we can let the students know who it is that's praying for them. Because we believe there's something powerful in knowing that you're being prayed for by name by someone you may not even know. So, whether you choose to jump in full force and volunteer on a weekly basis, or simply agree to pray for a student for a year, I hope that you will take seriously the vows that you have made and the vows that you will make today. And you will ask God how you can leave a Holy Spirit-filled legacy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.